Good morning and blessings to each of you. Extend greetings from the little town of Shenandoah and our church in Shenandoah Mennonite Church. It is good to be with you. Just want to thank each of you for your support in the outreach work there. All of those who have traveled to help in the children's ministry and prayer warriors, as well as, all of your ways that you help. God bless you for that and continue to support us in that way. I want to just make you aware of the school. I'm sure you're aware of the Shenandoah Christian School, where four families this year, and Emily Whitmer and Spencer are taking care of the teaching role there, roles. We are looking for an elementary teacher for next year. I want to make that need known. Pray with us that God would continue to send the staff that is needed to carry on the work. It's not an easy task to plant and start a school, and so keep us in prayer in that. It is a blessing. We have three of our church families, and we have one community family that is sending their son and coming back again next year. And we also have lots of young families with children, so it's going to be more of a young school. And when children come, we do need teachers, so pray that God would provide a teacher there. If you know someone, just make them aware of that need, someone who could serve well. It's an elementary teacher working alongside of Emily Whitmer. Emily is planning to teach again next year, so we're thankful for her service in Shenandoah. This morning, the title of the message I felt led to share is titled, Dry Bones and Two Sticks. Now, I could bring two sticks to illustrate two sticks, but I didn't know where to go to find bones. So I'll just let you imagine where we're going. I think you know where you find the story of dry bones. I often was amazed at that prophecy of Ezekiel and never really preached from that until recently. I am going to use one verse. In Romans 11, I understand Leon is just going through the book of Romans. We're following each other, so I'm not going to preach from Romans, but I'm going to use one verse and leap back into history again and take a look at the nation of Israel and what God promises. So the verse that I'm going to use, you don't have to turn to it, but I'm going to use verse 15 of chapter 11 as a springboard into this prophecy. It says, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So we're going to look at life from the dead. What a positive prophecy that we're looking at. As you look at God, you need to have a balanced view of God. One side of God, you see His mercy, and the other side of God, you see His justice and His severity. Paul also says, behold the mercy, the goodness of God, and the severity, the severe judgments that we read about in history. We didn't really cover that ground in our Sunday school lesson, the severity, but Paul says, stop and think a little bit about the severity of God and also the mercy, two sides of God. And then the third side of God is His sovereignty and His sovereign hand over the whole affairs of the world in our individual lives and also in the Jewish nation as well as Gentiles. So we're going to look at redemption of national Israel in the dry bones prophecy. But before we go there, I'm going to just read Harold Martin's commentary. He says this, I quote, God is not finished with Israel. The Jewish people will still figure in God's plan, and they will have a glorious future. The Christians in the early church had trouble reconciling the Old Testament promises about Israel's future glory with her present rejection and unbelief. They were asking, is God all through with Israel? Did God cast off his chosen people? Has he utterly and finally rejected them? Paul says, in essence, God forbid, away with even the thought of it. God is not through with Israel. The ancient promises to Israel are still going to be fulfilled in the fact the nation as a whole is going to repent and turn to God. The question, has God cast away his people, is answered by the calling attention to several facts. Israel is not totally rejected. There will be a future salvation for Jews. And God's mercy is available to all, unquote. So that is a springboard into where we're going. So I want to call your attention back to the prophet Ezekiel chapter 37 for dry bones and two sticks. Just for a context, sometimes you can make applications to this dry bones prophecy into individual circumstances, into revivals that happen. Dry bones is a picture of death, a picture of impossibilities. When you face something that looks totally overwhelming and impossible on your own, there is no way out. The situation is dry, and that is where Israel was at. I'm going to look at it in the context of verse 11 and verse 37. I want to start with this as the context I will be teaching this from. Verse 11, chapter 37, it says, "Then said he unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts." So that is the context, and I'm going to just go back a little bit at Ezekiel's commission. Ezekiel was 25 years old. Is anyone here 25? Guys, see your hand. 25. Anyone else? Oh, back in the back. We have two people here, 25. The prime of life, right? Young. Ezekiel was 25 years old, one of the elite of Jerusalem. His father was a priest. He was in the prime of life, and we make plans. We have goals. We have things we want to accomplish. We have callings. We have whatever it might be. This is where Ezekiel found himself, amongst apostasy. The state of Israel was bad. Ezekiel suddenly was exiled to Babylon in this stage of life. Quite a discouraging, we read that, but try to live through that. At 25 years old, suddenly your life is uprooted and you find yourself from Jerusalem to Babylon. He was called to this work. And Ezekiel chapter 2, I'm going to just get this context here before we get into the dry bones prophecy. Ezekiel 2, if you turn back to Ezekiel chapter 2, here he now is 30 years old when he received his commission to the role of a prophet. Okay, he's transferred, exiled from Babylon. His life was uprooted. He's from Jerusalem to Babylon, and now the call comes to be a prophet. And this is what is said to him in chapter 2, verse 1. "And he said to me, Son of man, stand upon your feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, they are a rebellious house. Yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them." Now how is he feeling? Now he's 30 years old. He's getting used to a new area. Suddenly you're transported to another country. And now the commission comes to Ezekiel, I want to send you to a rebellious house. They will not hear you, but they will know that there's a prophet among you. Are you okay with that? Would you be okay with that? The people you're called to preach to, they will not hear what you're saying, but they will know that a prophet is among them. So this is tough. And the context I'm building here is this is who he was commissioned and sent to. Chapter 3, verse 1, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, back up, chapter 2, verse 9, and when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations, mournings, and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that which thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. I'll stop there. You can read the whole story. But here, now, the Lord comes to him and gives him a scroll. Now, Joel would... I'm going to feed this to you, and I want you to eat it, and it's going to be sweet to your mouth, but in your belly it's going to be bitter. If you read the whole chapter, Ezekiel ate it, and it was sweet, but on this scroll was written lamentations, woes, and sorrows. It was a message that was hard to preach. They won't hear you, but you are to feel this message. So he ate it. The word of God came into him, and it was part of him. Now he's feeling the message of God. And he wasn't done yet. And if I'm going to just move forward and encourage you to read the first 10 chapters of Ezekiel. But now God came to Ezekiel and I said, Ezekiel, I want you to lay down on your left side for 390 days. I read it again and again and again. 390 days, I want you to lay on your left side and lay the iniquities of Israel upon your left side. I don't know if he was continually, it says they'll put ropes around you so you can't roll from one side to the other, but he laid there for 390 days. Now, he's going through some tough times. He's a prophet. He's a godly man. So he finishes and completes the 390 days on his left side, and then God came to him again and said, now, Ezekiel, I want you to roll your right side, and I want you to lay on your right side for 40 days and bear the sins of Judah. So he rolled over his right side, and he laid there for 40 days. Now, he felt the message of God. And I think the important part of this is that God was calling him to be a prophet in this time to the whole house of Israel. So that is the context by which I'm going to build and teach this dry bones prophecy. The whole house of Israel, in chapter 37, these bones are referred to as the whole house of Israel, both Judah and Israel. You cannot, you will see here in chapter 36 and 37, go back to Ezekiel 36 and 37, which I teach them together. You will find that, first of all, judgments come. As you read the Romans 11, Paul says, think a little bit about the severity of God and how severe the judgments are. If you read through the whole prophet, the whole book, you'll read severity. Judgments came to Israel, and he was to warn them and to open his mouth. But then there's also the side of redemption. The dry bones are the wonderful redemptive story, how God will bring them back again. And it's exciting to see it happening today, where God is working at restoring Israel. Now, chapter 36 is a chapter of restoration of the land of Israel, and chapter 37 is a chapter of restoration of the nation of Israel. And you will see that And I'll just point it out to you if you go to Ezekiel 36, which is a prophecy of redemption, just to show you here in verse 4, chapter 36, Ezekiel was called to prophesy. In verse 4, he says, "Therefore, ye mountains of Israel," this is the land, "hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the rivers, to the valleys, to the desolate places, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and a derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about them." Verse 6, "Therefore prophesy concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, to the hills, the rivers, to the valleys, thus saith the Lord, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen." Verse 8, "But you mountains of Israel shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come." Read through the whole chapter. We're not going to read through the whole chapter, but you will see that Ezekiel was to open his mouth and prophesy to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valleys, the streams, and start preaching to the mountains. I never went out in the woods and started preaching to the mountains and the hills and the rivers. But the land, you cannot separate the land from the nation. God promised to Abraham that you will become the father of a great nation, and I will give you a great land and a great name and a great blessing. You cannot separate the land from the nation. And so you will see here, chapter 36, Ezekiel was called to preach to the mountains. There will be a restoration in his day and in our day today. We are seeing it today. God is restoring Israel according to his promise. And this is what Paul was trying to reconcile, these prophecies that speak of restoration. Israel will be scattered. Chapter 36, verse 24. "I will take you from among the heathen." Well, back up, I won't read it all, but God will scatter them through the whole world, and he will regather them. Verse 24, "I will take you from the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land again. And then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? A new heart will I give you. New spirit I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. Ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn. I will increase it. I will lay no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree, the increase of the field, and ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your evil ways and doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in all your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations." Verse 32, "Now for your sakes do I do this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel." Here you have it again, "O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste places shall be builded. The desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. They shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden." What a beautiful picture there. That's restoration. "And the waste and desolate ruined cities are become fenced and inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, builded the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet, for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So God scattered them, he will regather them, he will cleanse them, he will put a new heart in them. God will first of all restore them nationally and then spiritually. And I believe this is reaching into our day today. Some people will teach this in a New Testament setting. The church receives a spirit and new heart, and all of that is true in the Christian's experience. But what I want to point out, as you read these two chapters, you cannot separate the land from the nation. So if the church replaced Israel, what do you do with all the promises of the land being restored and what God is doing today, preparing, I believe, for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, now we're going to move into the dry bones. Chapter 37, the hand of the Lord. This is the nation. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit. The Lord set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones, and he caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, they were very many in an open valley, and lo, they were very dry. As we looked at Ezekiel's commission and calling and the difficulty he was asked to endure, so he felt the message of God. He opened his mouth and preached and prophesied, but he preached a very prophesied in chapter 36 to the mountains of restoration. In chapter 37, here we see him, the Spirit snatched him away and set him down in a valley. I believe this was a spiritual vision that he saw. And it says that this valley was full of bones, very many, and they were very dry. Well, bones refer to death, a hopeless situation. So now he's in this valley, and let your imagination run. He's trampling through ankle-deep bones. There were very many bones upon bones upon bones. Now, this would be a dog's dream, but a prophet, this would burn in your spirit, and it would be hard to picture a setting like this. You remember God told him, I'm going to send you to a rebellious people. They will not hear you. The situation was very dry. Verse 11, it says their bones are very dry. Our hope is lost. We are cut off. And here he was in the middle of a valley with bones. Well, there's applications we can make to current day experiences, but I believe here it's very clear from the context that these bones are referring to the house of Israel, both Judah and Israel. Their situation was very dry at this point and on through the ages of history. By this time in history, the 10 northern tribes had been widely scattered among the surrounding nations. They were scattered, and the tribes of Judah had been conquered by the Babylonians. And this was during Ezekiel's time. The Babylonian captivity was in 600 BC, but the 10 northern tribes were exiled to Assyria in 700 BC, and they were scattered all through the world, never regathered again. Ezekiel was asked to lay in both sides. He bore the iniquity of Judah, and he also bore the iniquity of Israel, the 10 northern tribes as well. Even though he was living in Babylon during the Babylonian captivity, he was bearing the iniquity of them both. This is the setting that Ezekiel lived through. The vision was very real in Ezekiel's day. He felt it. He lived through it. But it also reaches into the New Testament age as well. In 70 AD, the Romans conquered Jerusalem, and there the Jews were scattered through the whole world. And it looked very hopeless during that period of time. From AD 70 to 1948 is a long time, and it looked impossible. It is miraculous. Don't let anyone tell you any different. It is miraculous that the Jewish nation survived through all of those years. God's hand and God's promise, I believe, reaches into the restoration we see today as well. God is restoring Israel. And here, Ezekiel was in 600 BC, but he saw this nation as being very dry and their situation very hopeless. Verse 3, chapter 37, God asks Ezekiel a question. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? So God asks Ezekiel, standing here in this valley of bones, ankle deep, hopeless situation, and God comes to Ezekiel and says, can these bones live? Well, Ezekiel answers back and says, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and start preaching to these bones. I don't know what you would think if you came to this scene of an accident and you saw someone lying motionless on the ground. Would you start doing CPR? I think, I don't know how to do that, but we would do everything we can to bring life back again. But what about if you came to us alongside the road and you saw a skeleton, bones? Would you begin trying to bring life back into these bones? This is what Ezekiel was asked to do. Start preaching to these bones. Prophesy to these bones. So Ezekiel began preaching in this setting, and these bones become alive. While we were in Israel, we visited the Holocaust Museum, and I was touched by several things. Looking back through the pages of history, you cannot get through that Holocaust Museum without some tears. All the innocent children, you hear them crying. Torture. But at the end, they laid this museum out in a wonderful way. At the end, at the exit of the museum, was a breathtaking view of the city of Jerusalem. As everyone visit those dark pages of history, and you come out with a burden of how severe God dealt with Israel. True, God's severity did come upon them as a nation. But you exit and you look at a beautiful view of Jerusalem, and they make a statement, we are still alive. We are here again today. God is restoring Israel today. They're fighting over who controls Jerusalem, but God is interested in that nation and is working out his perfect plan to restore. Well, the second point is these bones come alive, and Jesus, Ezekiel, under the instruction of the Lord, begins to prophesy. Verse 4, again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Now I want you to picture he's standing in this valley preaching to these bones. And the bones start whizzing through the air. I don't know. I'm just using my imagination. But bones, this valley of bones, ankle deep, they started to connect to each other. And there was a rattling. There was a noise. As he preached, the bones came together. And God began to restore them again. Ezekiel kept on preaching. And sinews and tendons formed on them. And skin came upon them. There was a restoration happened. As he began to preach, the bones came together and the muscles formed and the skin came upon them. And now you have an army that is formed with no life inside of them. And I want to encourage teachers and preachers, the anointed preaching will cause rattling. Preaching of the Word of God today, it may seem like hard work, but praise God, preach the Word of God. Ezekiel was standing in this valley and he began to preach to these bones and they started to come alive again and things began to happen. Sometimes we don't see it happening, but it does. God is in the business of restoring people to himself. Redemption is at the center of God's heart. There's a man from Shenandoah that I've gotten to know over the last 3 years. I worked with him and spent a lot of time with him, and sometimes it seemed hopeless, like he would never change. And just recently he said, "Dale, I'm hearing more of what you say than you think." And it gave me hope again. And he came out of prison and he said, I want to put this behind me. And he wants to change his life. Well, we can make applications to our situations today. God does breathe life into situations that seem hopeless. Ezekiel kept on preaching. So I prophesied, verse 10, and as he commanded, verse 9, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Now you have an army of people that are restored, but no life inside of them. In chapter verse 9, it says, he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding army. Then he said, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and I will cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land. Here you have the land again. You cannot separate the nation from the land. I'll bring you back into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take one stick. Now we're moving into the two sticks. Just on the breath, the spirit coming into them is a spiritual restoration. And I believe that's what Paul is writing about. God entered into a covenant relationship with Israel. He said, if they're casting away, be the reconciling of the world, what will their restoring be? But life from the dead. So God is going to restore them nationally. And he brings them back into the land while yet in unbelief. But one day, Zechariah says that Jesus will appear himself before the nation. They will look upon the one whom they have pierced. They will cry out and mourn. They will see their Messiah, the one they crucified. And that's when the Spirit enters into them. We see that restoration happening today as well. Now we have Judah and Israel becoming one. The two sticks with the dry bones coming alive, and now the two sticks, referring to Judah and Israel. Verse 15, it says, the word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions, and take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. When the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thou shalt, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, And I will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thy hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall no more be two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them so that they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein ye your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will place them and multiply them and set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in their midst, in the midst of them forevermore. Two sticks becoming one. The two sticks are clearly Judah and Israel. And Ezekiel was asked to hold two sticks in his hand and to declare to the people that God will again one day bring Israel and Judah back together in one, place one king over them, and place them back into their land again. In 930 BC, the 10 northern tribes formed an independent kingdom of Israel in the north, and the two other tribes, Judah and Benjamin, set up a kingdom of Judah in the south, and that's where the divided kingdom began in 920 BC. 700 BC, the 10 tribes, the northern tribes, were exiled to Assyria and never returned again. They kind of just spread through the world. And Judah, in 600 BC, they were exiled to Babylon for 70 years and came back for a period of time. And then in 70 AD, they were all scattered through the world. God, in his all-wise wisdom and sovereignty, is in control of the world. It appeared like they were forever gone. Their hope was lost. The whole house of Israel, their situation was very dry. The bones, their hope was lost. And down through the ages, many have adopted the idea that the church replaced Israel. That Israel is no more in the plans of God. But in 1948, we saw them become a nation again. And here, Judah and Israel will one day be gathered back into the land again. And as we speak today, as you watch the news, the Jews are returning to the land from all over the world. Why? God, in his sovereignty, is restoring them nationally. God is working his great plan. We had the privilege to see the temple. The Jewish people are very serious about rebuilding the third temple. We had the privilege to tour. Everything is ready. All the furnishings are displayed in the Temple Institute in the old city of Jerusalem. The golden menorah is displayed out in the streets. It's no secret. They believe that at some time God will allow them to rebuild the temple. In the book of Revelation, we also read of a temple. And we read the Antichrist and wanting to sit upon the throne of the temple and rule. In the news today, we see everyone is all up in arms about the U.S. moving the embassy to Jerusalem. And who controls Jerusalem? What is the big deal about Jerusalem? Why do the nations of the world care about who rules Jerusalem? It's because it is the city of the great king, and Jesus will one day again, I believe, appear into this city of Jerusalem, set up his millennial kingdom in the city of Jerusalem. And this will all be part of God restoring the nation of Israel back together. The Jewish people will be brought back into the land again, and Jesus will again one day appear and come back upon the Mount of Olives. As Zechariah says, the Mount of Olives will split in two, and Jesus will appear to his own people. Well, God is getting all of this ready, and this all points to the return of Jesus Christ, which is nearing. As we read this and as we follow this, this should excite us. This all points to the return of Jesus Christ. What does God want to do in our lives today? In conclusion, this vision is a vision of hope. It's a vision of redemption, not only for Israel, but in our own individual lives. God, at the very center of his heart, is redemption. The story goes through the whole Bible. It's an unfolding plan of redemption from Genesis to Revelation. Sin entered into the world in Genesis chapter 3, and in Revelation 20 and 21, we see, and 22, we have the story reaching its completion, and God will again restore every part of creation that was affected by sin and the fall. God chose this nation and set them apart, and God is restoring them. But God wants to bring restoration in each of our individual lives. God's word and God's spirit can bring life to any situation, to any soul, no matter how dead or hopeless it may appear. Remember, there's hope. God loves to restore things. God loves to bring us back into a relationship with him. David prayed for this in his psalm. He said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." The dry bones are the whole house of Israel, which God is restoring them today. And he will continue restoring them back to himself again. We are part of the Church of Jesus Christ, and we are to preach the gospel into all the world, which is a message of restoration, is it not? There's hope, the gospel message, and within the gospel, there is power to change anyone's life. And we are called to preach the gospel and take it to the whole world. God is restoring people back to himself. After years of scattered persecution, God is now restoring Israel back to the land again. He's restoring lives to himself. God is working, and we have the privilege to be part of this great program. I want to encourage you all to go take the message, preach to the dry bones wherever they are, and watch them rattle, and watch them form, and watch God bring a restoration, and watch God do great things in your life and in those around you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this prophecy of hope. Ezekiel, the great prophet, lived through hardship, pain, and suffering, endured the iniquity of the sins of Israel and the sins of Judah. He was a faithful prophet who preached and declared a message of warning to those who were lost in sin and a message of hope to those who believed. And I pray that we could take up the torch as Ezekiel did and preach it in our day today. Lord, we love you and thank you for what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.